Hey friends, Marthame here, host of AIJ Cast. We have now passed the 6-month mark of the Hamas attacks of October 7th and Israel's invasion of Gaza. The news says that Israel has announced a withdrawal with a plan to invade Rafah at the southern border with Egypt coming soon. There is mounting pressure on the Biden administration to back a permanent ceasefire. And even if that does come to fruition, there is still a long way to go toward forging peace with justice in the Middle East. For the past few months, regular listeners of this podcast will know that I have been revisiting longer reflections from mine and Elizabeth's time in Palestine, and I'll be sharing one of those with you in just a moment. At the same time, this conflict has caused me to go back and revisit the blog that we kept during our 3+ years. In my personal social media, I have been sharing a kind of on this day in Palestine, revisiting those blog posts. For reasons that I won't go into, I have not made those public, but all of this is available on our partner website, Mudif.com, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes if you would like to see. By the way, we're still in the process of moving all of that over from the old site, saltfilms.net, which is still live if you want to see what cutting-edge internet design looked like in 2001. But eventually it will all be moved over to Mudif.com. Among the things that I've been struck by revisiting those posts are the parallels with what was happening then and what is happening now, though now the scale is much larger and unimaginable. Many have made parallels with the decision by the United States to invade Afghanistan after 9/11, with Israel's promise to eliminate Hamas from Gaza as a cautionary tale. I believe there's also parallels with the American invasion of Iraq, particularly the way that the stated objective of that invasion continued to shift, from finding weapons of mass destruction, to regime change, to the economics of oil. And I also believe there's a strong parallel between Lyndon Johnson's execution of the war in Vietnam and Biden's execution of the war in Gaza. In both cases, incumbent presidents were so clearly out of touch with the younger generations and the way that they viewed international policy. This eventually caused Johnson to not seek re-election. And while the lineup for this year's presidential election seems to be set already, there does seem to be a tone deafness and a disconnect between the White House and those who were part of that broad coalition to elect Biden back in 2020. The reflection that I want to share with you on this episode comes from March 2, 2003. Stepping back into that time period, this was right before the U.S. invasion of Iraq, which left many questions about what would happen to the wider region. And so, I want to share with you the reflection we wrote, entitled Faith, Hope, and Love. Over the past 2.5 years in the West Bank, we've received many phone calls and emails asking some variation on the question, when are you coming home? When violence erupted in response to Ariel Sharon's provocative Temple Mount Haram al-Sharif visit, we were asked, but Jerusalem can be a long way away from our little Zababdi. When a mob of Palestinians lynched 2 Israeli soldiers in Ramallah, the Israeli army bombed civil and government targets in Palestinian towns, and internationals began leaving. We were asked, but Gaza and Ramallah are still pretty far. When gunfights erupted near the Israeli military camp at the edge of Zababdi, we were asked again. But the camp and the gunfights were way over on the other side of town from us. Since then, the violence has spiraled deeper and deeper, taking its toll on thousands of lives, limbs, homes, lands. But friends and family had mostly stopped asking us when we'd leave. We knew our way around, spoke passable Arabic. The locals knew us. We'd stuck around this long. There wasn't any use in trying to talk sense into us at this point. But then there was the particularly deadly suicide bombing last Passover, linked to nearby Jenin. Our telephones were cut, our schools were closed, and tens of thousands of Israeli reservists were called up for military duty in the territories. No one knew what would happen, but everyone knew it could be very bad. We were afraid for our safety, and without school or internet, we couldn't do much of our work. There was no need for persuasive emails. We made the very difficult decision to leave Zababdi, fleeing across the border to the quiet safety of Nazareth. We were only gone for a month, but many people back home assumed we'd left for good. Perhaps it was our poor communication, but more likely it was collective wishful thinking that we'd finally come to our senses. Now the emails and phone calls have started again. It's a blurry chorus of reason and rumor. We're going to war in Iraq. Yeah, there's some peace movements, but at this point it's inevitable. Saddam will send scuds, or nerve gas, or smallpox at you. The Arab anti-American backlash will put you in danger. The American government has called for a full evacuation of Americans in the Middle East. Don't you have to leave? When does your flight arrive? Yet here we are. We're still here because we believe. We came here out of a commitment to serve the church in the land of its birth, to be in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. What our American government says or does cannot change that calling or pry us from this place. Our presence here in Zimbabwe, Nazareth, Jerusalem, or elsewhere is a religious calling, not a political affiliation. The cross overshadows the crown, not the other way around. We're still here because we hope. We hope that war will be avoided, for nothing made by human hands is inevitable. We hope this nationalism and fanaticism will not have their way, that the rift between East and West will not become an impassable chasm, swallowing up lives and hopes for a peaceful future. We feel strongly that this is a time for peacemakers, not warmongers. For those of you who share our conviction, we love you dearly. Struggle with us. Pray with us. Work with us as seekers of peace. If you disagree, we love you dearly. And we challenge you. For this is a time for turning swords into plowshares. A time for us to turn to the long, hard work of cultivating peace, not to the deception of a quick and clean war. We are still here because we love. We love the people of this region. From Baghdad to Beirut, we have visited them, eaten with them, laughed and cried with them, worshipped and prayed with them. Having done so, it's impossible for us to think of them as the enemy or as candidates for collateral damage. Arab, Christian, Muslim, Jew, they have become our brothers and sisters, fellow children of God trying to carve out life in a region of imported death. For their sake, for our sake, and for God's sake, we continue to do what we can to bring peace here. Those of you sending us emails and making phone calls, before you ask us to come home again, we ask this of you. Do everything in your power to stop this disastrous war. So we're still here, because we're still called to work and minister here. But don't worry, we're not seeking our own martyrdom, but we haven't bought those plane tickets yet.